For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Wow. He had him wound up. I was standing over there, and that's some country music, huh? Who said we can't have fun in church? Right? How many people come to church, you see something, you have fun? I mean, yeah, this is what it should all be about. We're family, right? I got the pulpit, so this will work, but my water will fall off. So I'm not used to the fancy pulpit, so here we go. You guys doing okay? Kind of threw me off there a little bit, but I'm here. My title tonight is Becoming the Gift God Wants You to Be. That is very important for us to get. God wants us to be a gift. What's a gift? When you're in front of people each and every day, that should be something that would be cool when you start a conversation, you kind of start getting unwrapped. You know, and I think our church is really good at this because I think we have a real balance to what we're learning here at VBF. So let me say that. Let me pray this. Father God, anoint me tonight as I just speak. We talk about things, and I pray, God, that your grace would be good enough to let your spirit just move through this sanctuary, go out, permeate the internet. Lord, I pray, God, that somebody may even come across our stream that wasn't even thinking about it and would get blessed by what you're saying. So use me, God, because if it's just me, it's not alive. But when you anoint, things become alive. And everybody can say, amen. So I get really excited about opportunities to come up here. I've been speaking a little more than I used to. I had a great opportunity this weekend, but I started realizing on Monday that you guys have the same opportunity as I did this weekend. Pastor Ron and I went to Vegas together. I've dug in a little deeper in Las Vegas with him. So when he goes over there, Tom, our announcement guy, did a great job. Tom did a great job, didn't he? He's a really funny guy, and the announcing mates are serious. I remember my girls used to do the graffiti painting and serving in September. I think they painted themselves more than they did the wall because it took forever to get it out. And I remember back to church Sunday and how exciting that is. So those are two events to remember. But I want to mention tonight that everybody has an opportunity to have a mini moment with Pastor Ron. He and I had so many this weekend, it just can't share it all. We are shooting a new internet show called God Stories. So I'm not going to give that away, but I'm telling you, we're going to drop it, I think, in September. We've shot a month's worth already. So what we're doing is we have a lot of people who are commentators. So the idea of the show is Pastor Ron shares his God stories. And as we go through them, we have a Superior Court judge. We have a local attorney. We have a politician. We have a businessman. We have a current superintendent for a school district. We have a doctor of education. And we have a Nicole Dickey, who has a master's in theology. So we have all these people that are analyzing the stories, not on a critical basis, but just on the fact of how cool it is to have these God moments. And everyone can have those. So as Pastor Ron has written this book, Fire Starters, how many people have been blessed by that? Anybody out there? It reads my mail. So I open it up today, and I'm going to give you on the screen my wife's and mine. So this is our day 244. I'm not sure what day you're on because I think we're all on different ones. But we have recorded that last year on August 1st, we were in quarantine 173. Today, 9/1/2021, we're in quarantine day 528. Isn't that crazy? Just crazy. So I'm speaking tonight, so I underline down there, help me to be more effective and creative in my communications. I mean, as I go through that, I believe that is for me because I'm speaking tonight and I receive that. So as Pastor Ron and I were in Vegas together, we shared this on our God's filming of our God story show this morning twice. we had this encounter. But we were pulling into a parking lot on Saturday night, and we prayed for a parking spot. We got a parking spot. It was great, but we left. Came back hours later, and there wasn't anything available. You're talking 400, 500, 600 parking spots all over this parking spot. And Pastor Ron parked me because I don't think we're going to get a spot in here, Tom. And I go, let's try it one more time. He goes, one more time. So we prayed again, and we went around, and we got the same parking spot that we had earlier. But I'm just saying, you can either choose to believe that was a moment God came in, or you could do the math and be able to come up with that number, which I think would be pretty great. So as I'm talking tonight about being a gift, I had last week, I've shared before that I had a heart issue last year. So last week was a year anniversary. I went down to Los Angeles, Cedar Sinai, and I walked into the hospital. And it's really kind of interesting down there because everybody's wearing masks because it says, mask required whether you're vaccinated or not. So, you're wearing it. I'm vaccinated. I've had COVID, so I put a mask on. So I walk in this hospital. And the medical offices, and it's 11 stories high. Two elevators are out, and two are working. So you can kind of get the idea of the congregation that was collecting at the bottom down there. So I sat there, and I was just on time for my appointment, but as I was looking at the crowd, I was going to probably be late as I waited for them. I didn't even know the etiquette. I'm a guy. I try to think that I'm a gentleman, and I was letting women go first. And my wife told me we're never getting on the elevator if you do that, or we're not at least getting to the same place at the same time. So I didn't know the etiquette of this. People were so friendly, trying to make the best of it. There was a young lady there, and I noticed her son. He had some really nice tennis shoes. I'm a shoe guy, so I noticed that, and I told the young man, I go, those are really nice shoes. And we started a little conversation, and as the elevator came down, we were on the third floor, and I was waiting for an elevator to come up because my doctor's office was on the 11th floor. And so I thought for a minute I would take the stairs, but I realized I have a heart issue, and I didn't know if that would be really well for my blood test and my blood pressure when I got there. So I was resisting that. So it's funny because she got on the elevator and went down, and she goes, you should get in here. She just looked at me, and I go, oh, okay. So when it came back up, there was still as many people there where I was waiting, and the elevator was full. And she did something that I didn't recognize until I got on. Now, she was an African-American, and she had her son. And she looked at me. The door opened. Now, she's in the back, and there's about five people. She goes, I told you to get on the elevator when it was going down. And I looked around, and I go, she's talking to me. So she had some sass and she had some culture to her. And I go, oh, excuse me. So I went in there. Everybody was thinking we're together. And she started saying, I told you you should get on. And so as we went up, I thought it was a cute moment because she got off on floor 10 and she said, God bless. I go, I knew you were a Christian. So it was a cool moment that somebody made my day brighter and they helped me out a lot. She didn't have to do that. But she did it anyways. And I started looking at that. She was a gift to me that day, and I started to realize it. I read a quote this week by a very famous person. It said, every day, think as you wake up. Today, I am fortunate to be alive. We are. I have a precious human life. I am not going to waste it. I am going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart to others, to achieve enlightenment, for the benefit of all beings. That's something. I like sayings. I like mottos to enrich my life. Last time I spoke, I was in Luke, and I didn't get the chance to finish, so I'm going to pick up in Luke where I left off. So I'm just going to read this. The verses aren't going to come out, and I'm going to quote on it. It's over in Luke chapter 7, and its story is told twice, once in Matthew, once in Luke. I like Luke because Luke is written by a doctor. He even said at the beginning of Luke that he's going to write down the details, how they happened. So he went and investigated things. Matthew's version is a little more cliff notes, but it goes on and it talks about, it says, when Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people, he had preached. It said he went on to Capernaum. I tell people, and Brad Lawson and I talk a lot. He's over in Ventura at the Two Trees Church. And I talk to people because a lot of people will see this and say, man, I've really arrived at ministry when I'm up on stage speaking to people. I tell people all the time that this is where the ministry begins when you step out. It doesn't happen here. This being in the pulpit should be a culmination of what's happened between maybe the last time you had an opportunity to speak and the next time. So when you step out of the pulpit or you go into the community, that's when real ministry happens. It doesn't happen up here. This is an encouraging spot. So Jesus had preached to masses and he left. And it says a Roman officer there had a servant who was very dear to him. The man was sick and about to die. And when the officer heard that Jesus was there, he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come heal the servant he loves. So here it is. This guy who had a sick a servant felt compassion for a servant. He knew Jesus was in town. So he sent some Jewish elders who probably weren't real keen on Jesus because, you know, he had been there stealing their show. So he sent them out there to represent him. And so it says, when the Jewish elders got there, it says about the Roman centurion, he loves our people and he himself has built a synagogue for us. There was people giving credit to this centurion. Now, centurion was there and he was occupying the land, but he'd been very kind and had a great heart to the Jewish people. So it went on and said, Jesus went to them and said he was not far from the house when the servant came again and said, sir, don't trouble yourself. He says, I do not deserve to have you come to my house. So the Roman centurion never went. He just kept sending people out to Jesus. So the first the elders got him to bring him to this guy's house. Jesus was coming. And the centurion said, go back out and tell him, I don't even deserve Jesus to come to my house. None of us deserve the gift that Jesus gave us on his sacrifice to the cross. But we can accept it through his sacrifice. And it's mercy for us to do that. He paid a debt he didn't know for a debt that we did, but we couldn't pay the cost. So as Jesus did this, the centurion recognized this. And so when Jesus heard this, he turned to the servant said, give the order and my servant will get well. He knew a spiritual principle that Jesus didn't have to be there to do something. I think that's the state that every one of us live in. Jesus isn't standing here in flesh with us. He's in spirit inside our body. You are empowered. You can become that gift that other people need. Jesus said, as he looked at the people following him, he says, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. So he was following some people that had religious training and actually were his disciples. And the centurion knew that Jesus had the ability to move out and do accomplishing things without him. Romans 12, verse 1. This is a New Living Translation. And now, this is Paul. Paul's saying, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Now, this is that same thing that the centurion said. He goes, you've done a lot of things. You know, I don't deserve to have you come to my house. And it says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Every one of us here have that opportunity each day to become a sacrifice to God through allowing him to use you. The kind he will find acceptable, this is truly the way we worship him. People talk about worship and we're all raising our hands. We enjoyed that last song. That's not the only way you worship him. Every place you show up tonight, day's not ended yet, has it? We have opportunities tonight. I told you about when years ago when Pastor Ron prayed for my dad and asked my dad to have a dream. My dad is having surgery the next morning. Pastor Ron prayed for my dad to have a dream that he would need to talk to me, and he did. And he accepted Christ the next morning. So there's never a cap. There's never a time limit. God's not on our time. Have you realized that? How many people realize that sometimes we are talking today, and I go, I know my God. He's probably going to show up at the 11th hour, 59 minutes and 59 seconds, but he shows up. That doesn't mean he's out. And then if he doesn't mean he didn't show up someplace, right? I mean, there's things going on. So Paul is pleading. Pleading is something that you're used as a persuasive strategy. You know, writers will use that. It says pleading is a persuasive strategy that a writer uses to support an argument. And it goes, the power of attracting or arousing interest of others. Paul was pleading with people. As we're here today, we can preach to you and talk to you about being a blessing to other people. But you know what? We're trying to arouse that in you. And if you give that half a chance, just half a chance, and let God move, you'll be surprised at what he does. God calls us to make a choice. He does. God calls us to make a choice about the way we want to live for him. We leave this place on Sundays, right? Saying, God, use me. And on Mondays, we forget to pray until the afternoon. Pastor Ron and I were talking about today on the new series, God Stories, that if you fail to find God in the morning, you hardly ever find him throughout the day. And when do you need him? It's during the day when you run into a problem. So that when he's saying give your bodies, he's saying loan your body to God for the day. And it says as a sacrifice. In the ancient Greek world and culture, they didn't think that presenting your body to God was very spiritual because they didn't think God cared about our physical bodies. But it says here that it can be used for a spiritual sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So I wanted to give you three things that you can take away. My PowerPoint one is be present. I don't know if I can say anything more powerful than that. Be present because it's where you are. So many people wish time away. The older I get, the more I look back and said, I wish I could have made more of that. I used to always ask God, things like, why 34? I could have been more effective, at 14. I wouldn't have made the mistakes. I wouldn't have ruined the lives that I was with. And I think God had always given me the understanding of realizing that his timing was correct. I've been able to use some of the things that I've done to hopefully bring glory to God. So I always tell people, don't wish time away. We have to see every place we end up, whether in the hospital at Cedars, being encouraged by a gal who made it fun. I kind of had fun that morning. My doctor's report, I got a little bruise here. It wasn't great, but it was good. And I had to see that as I was there. And as I left her, and she kind of like handed the baton to me. We saw the Olympics, right? And those relay races, they handed the baton. I was able to go into my doctor's office and hear some things. I'm not bad, but I mean, I got some things to work on. And I was able to minister to my doctor because he's really curious about Christianity. He's really curious about Pastor Ron. He's really curious about what we do here because he always asks. And he's Jewish, but he always wants to know. And I said, regardless of how my appointment goes, I'm going to take what this girl started in me and move it forward. Sometimes, what do you say? We just need a spark. What do they say about sparks? They start fires, right? I mean, we're in California, so all these fires are started by a spark. So you have to see yourself by being present is very important. Everybody's going to end up someplace tomorrow. That is a mission field. That is a place that you can be very effective on. Nehemiah, there's a story in Nehemiah. It's about Nehemiah, and he was the king's cupbearer of the day. So he was the one that had the cup, tasted the wine, and then he would present it. But when you went in the king's presence, you're not supposed to be sad. Well, when he heard about the fact that the gates of walls of Israel were broken down and that his spiritual family was back there in this ruins, he had a burden for him. He had a burden to help, but he didn't know what he was going to do. So it says, then the king said to me after he recognized that he was kind of bummed out. Sometimes, people around you, can't you tell when somebody's having a bad day? You could be the answer to the difference between helping this person turn that bad day around. What do they say about a frowny face? Turn it upside down, it's a smiley face. You have that ability. So as the king noticed that he was bummed out, the king said to him, what would you request? So then he said something. He said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. It doesn't say he said, I'll be back tomorrow after I fasted and prayed. It just said he prayed. Ever pop off one of those very quick prayers that you don't believe God's hearing, and he does. I've done it so many times in so many circumstances. Sometimes we get confronted with a terrible circumstance right on the moment, and sometimes you have to go to God and hopefully bring something back that is encouraging, especially when people are going through dark moments. So it says that, I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my fathers and tombs, that I may rebuild it. This is a burden that God put on his heart when he prayed. So there again, there's sometimes that you may not, have minutes or hours, but it doesn't neglect the fact that you can pray and get an answer. And that's part about being present to be there. My wife, I've shared this before. My wife, when she was leaving our school here, she was a principal. She was leaving, going back into the public school system. And I share this story. My wife gives me permission to share. She interviewed several jobs and turned them down. Actually, when I was in the car, you know, somebody would call and she goes, you know, I don't know if I like that job. I go, you didn't even go out on an interview with this job. She goes, Tom, I'm looking for something. And I go, you're not looking for a job. That's what you're not doing. And this was just something that was between her and I. And then she finally told me, she goes, you know, I need to finish the race that I'm in right now. Once I finish and I'm not the principal at Valley Elementary School, then I feel I'm ready to be on assignment someplace else. And I thought, well, that's good. You know, let's see if that happens. So after she was done at our school, she had an interview, and it all started to come together. Sometimes your journey may not make sense to other people. I shared from the pulpit here a while ago, be careful on who you share your hopes and dreams with, because there are people that will crush your hopes and dreams. You know, and sometimes they don't get it. They don't understand. I was talking to Pastor Ron, and we were in Vegas, and he said, you know, Tom, no one was there to encourage me probably for 20 years of my ministry. Nobody. And I think he goes, I believe that's why God told me he was going to train me up, and then I would train all you other guys that came before me. And I go, well, then how did you do it? He said, I just hang in there, and I did it kind of like David did with Ziklag. I encouraged myself when no one else was around. So there's sometimes where you have to do that. Don't expect somebody to be on the other side. It's great when it is, but sometimes you have to go in and encourage. So my wife had an interview out at Elk Hills School District, and she was sitting there, and my wife has chronic Crohn's. And so she was sitting there, and they were questioning her, and they asked why she was, you know, leaving her current job. And she said that stress is a bad thing for me. You know, it's just part of, you know, it's not good for my illness. So at the end of the interview, there was a man in the back. And so he raised his hand. He goes, Tiffany, you kind of opened the door. What's wrong with you? And she looked at him and she says, I have Crohn's. And there's some, I want somebody to know that I'm not healthy. They're not getting a teacher that has got, like, you know, there's something wrong with me. So if I need days off to get an appointment, I would be able to get that. And so he kind of stopped the meeting there and he said, basically, Tiffany, I've just spent a time up in Stanford. I've just had bone cell transplants. He says, we will be patient with you. My wife said, well, I need to talk to my husband and see if this job's for me. It was all God. And so she called me. I go, did you tell him you take the job? She goes, no, because I want to talk to you. I go, call him back and say he'll take the job. You know, but she said, I wanted to be present in that moment. I wanted to look these people in the eyeballs and say, and not be afraid of it. She goes, I don't want to get 2 years down the road and take some time off because of my health and them not to know about it. I'd rather be up front with it now. And I told my wife, that's gutsy. You know, but she goes, I served a God that is using my Crohn's to minister to other people. And it's so interesting how she's ministered to Southern employees out there. She is now the superintendent of that school district where she started out there. But yeah, it's all the Lord. But she wanted to be present in the moment and be able to represent herself, but also tell them that God's been faithful to her. Matthew 6:34 says, do not worry about tomorrow. Everybody say that after me. Say, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, say it, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many people can say amen to that? So as you're here today worrying about tomorrow, it's going to come. But you have 3 or 4 more hours tonight. Let's take advantage of that. When I go to the gym now, I have a motto, because I have to put some things in my life because I'm unbridled with some areas, and I have a acronym: get in, get out, get home. And if I'm in there, I keep saying it: get in, get out, get home. Now, if I'm in there and I minister, that still counts for me working out. I still got to get out, get home, because getting home is where I really need to be. The gym's just part. So if I'm there and I'm ministering to somebody, it doesn't change what I'm doing. I'm still present. I'm there to minister, but I can't make up the time because it's my allotted time because it's important when I get home. My PowerPoint 2 goes along with this story because the centurion told his friends to tell Jesus, you don't have to come. I know that if you say it, my servant will be healed. Don't be afraid to be bold. I think sometimes that is sometimes one of our biggest problems with our nature is, you can ask. I've got a God story that's kind of culminated in the last couple of days, and I practice asking specifically, and I have something specifically. Once I found out it was God, I'm like, God, you're in this. Okay, God, I'm going to throw a couple little caveats on this to know it was you. And Pastor Ron said that many a time, that sometimes you have to be specific so when God answers a prayer, you'll know it was him. I'll share that story a little bit later. But in James verse 1 through 6, it says, but he must ask in faith, that means boldly, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. How many of you have made up your mind, I'm going to do that? That is what I'm going to do. Either I'm going to go, I'm going to join a Bible study, I'm going to do it in the morning and say, I'll do it next week. You know? Sometimes it's that boldness just to do it. Get in and do it. Sometimes it's making, my daughter has been looking for a new job. And she's been doing these Zoom interviews. And I said, you know what? We need to ask boldly, but you can be present in that interview on the screen. It's our new present, isn't it? You know, she's always made it to the end and hasn't pushed through to get another job. She's got a job right now, but she's looking for another. She's thinking about getting outside her degree where she has been educated. She's thinking about getting out. So she's not seeing any doors open by saying, honey, that means you keep trying. You keep knocking. You keep trying to get there. And ask boldly. And don't be afraid or ashamed to say, God, throw a little cherry on top of that too. Because when it happens, you'll know it's God. So my youngest daughter, Tessa, is engaged. And she's living in Nashville. And her boyfriend, which we feel is the man that we've been praying for 22 years, it lives in Bakersfield with us, and she lives in Nashville. And they believe God has a plan. Well, his name is Danny Jimenez, and Danny might be watching tonight. And I have his permission to share this story. There again, I don't know if people still get it, but you never quit raising your kids. That's something I've learned through these years. When they're little and when they get big, you never finish raising them. They just quit listening to you, I guess, you know. So we've adopted this with Danny. And Danny's like my son. I love this boy. And so he's in his fifth year of engineering at Fresno State. Kid was a great football player, played in a state championship, went on to play football at Fresno. But one of his professors had told him that he might consider either dropping his major as being a mechanical engineer or drop football. Now, Danny and his family made the choice to drop football, so he had already made a sacrifice. So Danny just finished his fourth year of engineering at Fresno State. You can give a hand clap because Danny, he's a good, godly young man. Couldn't speak more highly of him. But in March last year, he realized, and there again, it happens sometimes with a state school, that a class that he needed. Now, this was a class. You ever play Jenga? It's the piece that you need to make the rest of it work, right? Or fall. You know, you don't pull that piece. But Danny needed a class that was his Jenga piece. And as Danny needed his class, it was full. So he contacted the professor, and the professor said, I can't take another student. And he did this in March of last year, making sure that, you know, in spring or in September, fall, he would have his class. Now, the thing that we've told Danny, now my wife and I have told Danny this, and his parents, Jaime and Rita, have told him this, and I really appreciate them telling him, that the kids can't get married until they both graduate from college. So Danny knows that he has to graduate from Fresno State as an engineer before they can get married. Well, their wedding date is June 4th, 2020, 2022. And so as Danny's trying to get his classes, he's also trying to get married in a year from now. But the professor told him to email him in September. And he said, I'll try to get you in. So when Danny did this, the professor says, there's no way I can get you in. Not a chance. You're going to have to put your graduation off for 1 year. It was kind of a blow to Danny, and I didn't know about it, but Tessa had told us as Danny was coming to our house one night, hey, you know, Danny's kind of, you know, got this burden that he's going to probably share with you. So he came over and he did. So this is just the way we were. So Danny is a devout Christian. I mean, his kid's plugged in. I've used him at Man Cave before. He speaks at his church. And I was sitting there and told Danny, I go, why don't we just pray about this? And sometimes that isn't the answer that people want, you know. Because in Danny's saying, I may have to wait a year, I go, well, then you'll just have to put the wedding off. That isn't the answer Danny wants to hear either. You know, he wants to think maybe I'm going to go back to Tennessee and finish up at Vanderbilt, which I think he could, but it'll probably put off another couple of years. But we said and we all agreed that he would graduate and before they got married. So we prayed that night, and we prayed that God would do something. Of course, you don't know what God's going to do, but we were bold. We asked boldly that God would do something. I asked Danny if I could share the story. And Danny will tell you the next morning, he was detailing a car, because that's what he does when he's going to school. He was detailing a car, and he got an email. And this email said that the professor can no longer continue at the school and had to drop all of his classes. So they reworked all the engineering students' classes, and Danny got every class that he needed to graduate this year. It's a great story. But as I was talking to Danny today, I go, I want to make sure I get the story right before I share it, because I don't want to embellish. I don't want to say something that's right now. And Danny goes, Tom, it was just a huge thing. I had no hope. And within a 10-hour span, everything changed. Now, is that a coincidence? Now, this is what we have our God story for. Is that a coincidence or is that God? I think Albert Einstein said, a coincidence is when God chooses to show up anonymously. But if you're looking for it and you're asking for it, that is something you should look for in something in school. Now, Danny still has to pass all the classes, right? And he told me the other day, he goes, this isn't easy. It's not supposed to be easy. People talk to me about Christianity all the time. They'll say, you know, oh man, this is hard. I go, well, in James it says we're going to consider it joy with all the trials that we get. So being present, working through problems, learning how to be bold in your faith and encouraging others will help you through this. My third and final point is learn to be an encourager. I didn't say be an encourager because some of us, that wasn't how we were wired, right? I don't know about you, but when I was in my first profession for 10 years as an athlete, Steve remembers me, I wasn't a really friendly guy, was I, Steve? Oh, that was kind of nice. I mean, Steve knows me from way back. But I just kind of was shut into myself. People, you know, I wore headsets in my head, and Flex Magazine did an article on me. And they go, Tom, what music do you listen to? Because in the 80s, they were thinking Bee Gees or Pat Benatar. And I said, I had a Walkman. How many people had Walkmans back there? I had a nice, fancy Walkman. I opened it up, and there was no cassette in there. And they looked at it, and they go, what do you wear? And I go, because I don't want people talking to me. They printed it in the article. It was like, if you see Tom with a Walkman, go up and talk to him because he's not listening to music. He just didn't want to be friendly. But it wasn't that. It was my profession, and I was warped in my thinking because I felt that was my time on the job. So if people came up and spoke to me, it's kind of robbing me from my job because that's what I have to do. People are making money on me. I was making money on me, so I needed to do it. So I wasn't a natural encourager. I when I went into the corporate world, after I got saved, I've shared this before, my operations supervisor, Diane Bailey, who lives in Alabama now, seemed to call a meeting in my office. So all the people in the Bakersfield corporate office piled into my office, and she asked, she goes, so what's changed with you? And I go, I was spinning like, well, you know, who called the meeting and why are you in my office? And now they're asking me what changed, and I go, oh, I accepted Jesus Christ. Somebody goes, I told you, and they walked out. And I go, no, hold on. So I asked Diane to come back in. I go, is it that obvious? She goes, it is. And I realized that I was a nicer, better, kinder boss with Christ in me than I was. No one had to explain that to me. Just their actions explained that to me. So this wasn't something that came natural to me. I had to learn to be an encourager. You know, and as I was talking to Pastor Ron, how he had spent that 20 years encouraging himself, sometimes that just doesn't come natural to some of us. Some of the time, it's not even our personality. But 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. This means it's a two-way street. I tell everybody that you need to find people who will encourage you in your life, not tear you down. There needs to be an adequate group. I don't mind having critics in my life. I seem like I have too many of those. But I always look for that balance in my life because I do need that. And it says that it's supposed to be happening with you as you're doing it for others. So I had to learn to be an encourager. And now that I've seen that, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, as you measure it out, it gets measured back. How many people found out that verse is true? And it just doesn't mean finances. I found out it means finances too in giving. It's a whole nother for another subject. Don't turn me off. You heard me say giving. So I'm just saying it means all spirituality things. I mean, I think people have found that just generally in life. If you give, it's like a universal principle. People seem to be more generous, and I think it's human nature. But when you're a believer, it should come natural, right? That should be one of those fruits of the Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll produce fruit. It doesn't say you might produce fruit. You could produce fruit. It says you will produce fruit. But it's this collaboration with Jesus. We're abiding in him. He's abiding in us. Pastor Ron always says people don't have a sin problem. We have an abiding problem, right? We all know what happened in the temple of Dagon. When they brought the ark in, the god of the Philistines fell over at night. No one was in there preaching. Just sin cannot stand in God's presence. If you're filling yourself up with more of the Lord, sin will have a way of leaving your life. The Bible says that if you resist Satan, he'll flee, right? You know, if you're not entertaining those things, it's a simple principle. So we don't have a sin problem, we have an abiding problem. If you're reading the Bible, you have worship music at your house, you're coming to church, surrounding yourself with godly people, you might have a little less problem when it comes to sin, right? So as it says, learn to be an encourager. A lot of you might know John L. Ward. John L., you'll see at this campus, he's probably out helping in the junior high area. He has a ministry called Kicks for Kids. You know, we had him on our lunch break show. If you ever want to catch Justin Greer, J2, and my lunch break, we're on live tomorrow at noon, and Facebook and YouTube, and it's an encouraged media production for our church. And we had John L. on last week. Now, our lunch break show is just to really find out people's story, you know, where it's different than our God story show, where we're analyzing some of the Pastor Ron's God stories. But John L. was on our show last week, and John L. had a rough past. You know, when he came, he was hesitant about us because our Adopt-A-Block program went into his neighborhood. It was kind of a prophecy. Pastor Ron prayed and described a guy that looked like John L. when they got there. Pastor Al can verify the story, and some of our Adopt-A-Block people can. When they went into the neighborhood, John L. was there. And they went up to John L., and John L. goes, I wasn't buying what they were selling. He goes, I wasn't drinking the coffee. He goes, I just watched them, but he goes, there was enough of something that made me interested. So as you're there, you have to learn to be that. Now, John L. came to our church, got saved, and I'll never forget the first meeting with John L. Ward. Pastor Ron said, would you meet with John L. because John L. has a idea. And I met with John L. I'll never forget meeting with John L. the first time. I met with John L., and John L. told me the vision that he had from God was to give kids in foster programs a nice pair of shoes. Not just any pair of shoes, a really special pair of shoes. And when he would do it, though, he was going to encourage them to do better in school. And John L. talked about a kid that had given him a lot of problems, but was so excited to see John L. one day because he made the principal's list. And when he did, he said, he goes, John L., look it, we did it. It wasn't I did it or you did it, we did it. And John L. just encouraged them to start trying harder in school to see where they would go, and the catch was, we'll upgrade your shoes if you're better there. And the kid did. He goes, I don't care about shoes. I'm just excited that I applied myself and made it. So as John L. had this vision for this ministry, I said, John L., this is much bigger than you. I always tell people, if the vision God gives you for your life or your ministry doesn't kind of scare you, it may not be from him. Because if you can do your ministry on your own, that might be from you. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ, not ourselves. If we're leaning on him for our ministry or our relationships, that's probably when you need to be hit your knees a little more, and that's probably from him. So I told John L., but I will hang in there with you. The church will hang in there with you and encourage you and walk you through this. And John L. has kind of a crazy ministry to this day. He just gave out over 1,000 pairs of shoes at their last event to foster kids that had no way. No way. And that encourages them, because if they can accomplish that, what else can they accomplish? I want you to watch a video, and I'm going to set this up. Now, this is my best friend, and a lot of people know his business, but there was a day that I came into his office. Now, I came into his office because I needed a key for my truck. Now, I thought it was a little put off for me, because I was going to him because I lost my key. So I had a AAA guy come back out there, open my car up, and then I didn't have registration there because my wife had mailed the registration in. Not your fault, Tiffany. It's not her fault. It was just gone. So the guy goes, I can't make you a key because I don't know this is your truck. Why don't you go to a place you bought it, and they'll make you a key. Watch this video.
Tom, I thought I was done on believing in God. I was really losing my faith. I just, I thought, I'm wasting my time. Why do I keep lying to myself? There's no God. And I told God, I need an answer. You have to let me know if you're real. I need a sign. You have to tell me if you're real. And you have to do this soon. And that day, you walked into my office. And you told me the story about your wife. You told me some things. And then I remember telling you, Tom, God sent you to see me. You're my sign. You're here to let me know that God's real. And I now believe, again, 100%. And I don't believe in coincidences. That was God sent you to my office. I don't know what I did to deserve that, but he sent you. Well, I'm glad you came. I'm really glad you came by.
Yeah. Now, John and I seeing each other is no coincidence because we lived together when I moved back to Bakersfield. You know, he's president of Haddad Auto Haas over there. They have 12 dealerships in town. But I thought I was going to get a key. And when I walked in his office, because I'm glad you came, and I go, I'm not, you know, because I was at work, lost my key. AAA said, you need to go back to the place you bought your truck from so they make you a key because my registration was in there. He goes, no, you didn't come for that. You came for me. I'm having a crisis in my life, and I'm ready to throw my hands up. And I was like, so you can be an encourager on both sides of this. You have to learn to be an encourager. You have to learn how to be present. You have to learn to be bold in what you ask. So let me pray this. Father God, pray God that tonight that you would speak into somebody's heart. I pray God that you would let them know that they got to be present. For their children, for their job, for a spouse, maybe for just the fact of enduring. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, be bold. Because we're not being bold in ourselves, we're being bold in the fact that you are the God of the universe. You are the God that can accomplish mighty things through us. I pray, God, that you help us be encouragers. Put us in right people, around the right people. I pray, God, that people would take this as a challenge tonight to start putting things before themselves, maybe other people. Look at opportunities in the fact that maybe there's a distraction, they have to go someplace they weren't planning on going. Let it be an adventure. And if there's somebody out there tonight at home or here that says, I want to begin the adventure, just slip your hand up right where you're at. Say, tonight, I want to be part of this. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Just slip your hand up in the air and put it back down. No one else is going to know. I see the hands. Pray, God, if you would, everybody pray after me. Say, Dear Lord, tonight, thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice he made for me. Help me, as your spirit lives in me, to start listening to your voice. And help me obey your voice on this exciting journey I'm starting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great evening. Fun to be here with you. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.